This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon Him, the prophets and messengers that came before Him, His family and companions that served alongside Him, and those that follow in His blessed path until the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, as time goes on, I had been planning this khutbah for a while, and I think now is the time for us to actually ask ourselves this question, as it has now been over 2 months since the unfolding atrocities have captured our hearts and captured our attention, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen activated our community in a way that it has never been activated before, activated our ummah in a way that it has never been activated before. And the question is, are we sincere in our activism? Are we sincere in doing what we are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anything that I have put forth, whether it's attending a protest, or it is sharing something, or it is doing something, is it sincere or not? And I want everyone to understand from the very start that the purpose of asking this question is not to deflate our efforts when we are already starting to see them wane due to the length of this atrocity. But it's actually to re-energize them, because if you put ikhlas, if you put sincerity back into it and you recalibrate in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to be called to, then you actually bring forth an added blessing to the types of work that we are trying to do, inshallah ta'ala, seeking to bring about change in the world around us, and especially right now for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Now, there's an interesting hadith that we start with, and I always like to go to the context of the hadith and to the narrator, because it gives you a sense of how the companions themselves used to interact with this hadith. And it's a hadith that's well known, and the way it's narrated is powerful. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in Ash-Sham, the area of Greater Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan, the place of shuhada, the place of anbiya, the place of prophets and martyrs. And as he was narrating, a group of people came up to him at the end of his narrating to them and giving his lessons on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said to him, "Ayyuha Shaykh, O Shaykh," and they mean it both in terms of his knowledge as well as his seniority, "Ayyuha Shaykh, hadithna hadithan sami'tahu min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell us what you heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us a hadith, something precious, something special that we can keep near and dear to our hearts." And Abu Hurairah is interacting with a context that is very different. Islam has spread to Ash-Sham, and it is taking root in Ash-Sham, and you are starting to see opening after opening after opening. So they said, "Give us something." And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, as he starts to narrate this hadith, he cries. And he goes again and he starts to narrate on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ that I heard the Prophet ﷺ say, and then he starts to cry again. And he does so a third time and he starts to cry again. And then he says that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Inna awwal an-nasi yuqda yawm al-qiyamati alayhi rajulun istushhida fa'utiya bihi fa'arrafahu ni'amahu fa'arafaha." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first person to be judged on the Day of Judgment will be a shaheed, will be a martyr who is brought forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will mention his blessings, his favors upon that person. And the person will acknowledge all of those blessings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Fama amilta fiha," what did you do with those blessings? So he would say, "Qataltu fika hatta istushhidtu," that I fought in your cause until I lost my life. And Allah would say, "Kadhabt," you have lied, "walakinnaka qatalta li'an yuqala jari' wa fi riwaya shuja'." Rather, you fought so that people would say, "What a brave man you are. What a courageous man you are." You wanted that to be said, and it was said. Now, the shaheed is the first person, subhanAllah, we know the rank of a martyr on the Day of Judgment. And we've been speaking about it for these months. In this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ goes on to mention a scholar who only taught or who only recited the Qur'an so people would praise their recitation or their knowledge, and someone who gave charity only so that people would say kareem, generous, and it was said, and there is nothing left on the Day of Judgment. The first person mentioned in the sequence is a shaheed, a martyr. Now, if that person has to take into account their intentions with the greatest sacrifice, that means that all of us have to be extra careful with our intentions, because a person indeed could get caught up with what would be said and what they are projecting of themselves rather than what is actually of them, and this has broad implications. Now, why the shaheed? And I want to start with that because it is perplexing in many ways. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said that the best of people are the anbiya, the best of people are the prophets. And that's why the worst person on earth is a false prophet. The best of people are the anbiya, are the prophets of Allah. And the worst category of people that have walked the face of the earth and they continue to show themselves in every generation are people who falsely claim prophethood, are the false prophets. Then he said, you go to the next categories, as-siddiqun, wa-shuhada, wa-salihun, wal-ulama, wal-mukhlisun. You go down the categories, people of truth, people of martyrdom, people of scholarship, people of sincerity. And he said, they are the best people. Therefore, the worst people are those who claim to be of them when they are the exact opposite of those things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So he said, you've got the columns. You have all of these noble qualities, all of these noble people. To pretend to be one of them with no intention of actually embedding what made them noble is of the greatest signs of hypocrisy. May Allah protect us. And so in our situation, when we look at ourselves, in a moment where we're all suddenly becoming activists and we are all suddenly taking to the streets and we are showing up as we should show up, let's remember that it's not about us. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those people that we are advocating for. And of the worst things, as the ulama mentioned, of the worst things that a person hates to be called is a coward. And especially in the context of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, being called a coward is what drove some of Quraysh to the battlefield on the Day of Badr. They didn't actually want to be there. But Abu Jahl went to them and he called them cowards. And they said, no, we're not cowards. They actually didn't care about going and fighting against the Prophet ﷺ. But being called a coward is so despicable that it drove them to the battlefield and they lost their lives in batil. They lost their lives in falsehood. On the other hand, of the most beloved things to be called is courageous. Shuja', jari. Everyone wants to be called courageous, brave, right? Of all of the categories of things that people will say, generous, knowledgeable, courageous is up there, right? Children, it's in their fitrah. They want to be courageous, and we encourage courage as we should. But if it's insincere, it could drive a person to even be willing to give their lives, their whole existence. Think about the logic. You're not even around to hear people praise you, but you would be willing to die so that your name could be praised. It's a strange logic. It's strange, but it happens that a person says, I want to go down in the history books like this. Who cares if you're not around to narrate the history books or have them narrated to you? Instead, you want to go down in Allah's books like this, then that's a noble intention. Because it's greater than you. It's greater than you hearing your name being praised. And so there's cowardice, and then there is courage. And everyone loves courage. Everyone hates to be considered or looked down upon as a coward. And he goes on to speak about how in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when you're looking at intentions and sincerity, he says, شَهِدْنَا مَعْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that we went out with the Prophet ﷺ on a particular battle. فَقَالَ لِرَجُلٍ مِمَّنْ يَدَّعِي الْإِسْلَامِ, the Prophet ﷺ said about a person who claimed to be Muslim. This is an important part of this hadith which I'll explain. He claimed that he was Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, هُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, he's a person of the fire. Imagine before the battle starts, a man coming out saying, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, you know, showing off his sword and showing off his skills and showing that he's willing to go all the way, right? And be the hero of the day. And the Prophet said, "Huwa min ahli an-nar." That's a person of the fire. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, فَلَمَّا حَضَرَ الْقِتَالُ قَاتَلَ الرَّجُلُ قِتَالًا شَدِيدًا, that once the battle took place, the man was fighting bravely, courageously. He was out there. He was doing everything that we would glorify a man like Hamza radiallahu anhu for, or Talha and Zubair, or Ali, may Allah be pleased with them all. He was out there. And eventually he was wounded, that the people came back to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Rasulullah, alladhi qulta innahu min ahli an-nar, fa innahu qad qatala al-yawma qitalan shadidan wa qad mat." O Messenger of Allah, that man that you just said is a person of the fire, fought so bravely, and he died. He lost his life. And the Prophet ﷺ repeated, "Ila an-nar," to the fire. Then they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, and Abu Hurairah says, كَادَ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ أَنْ يَرْتَابَ, that some of the Muslims started to have doubts. Like, this is too much. This is perplexing. That this man ended up being alive. And then at night, he succumbed to his wounds and he took his own life. He took his own life. And so, subhanAllah, his reality was shown that it wasn't for the truth that other people were there for. And the Prophet said, "Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha ad-din bil-rajul al-fajir," that it might be that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to the deen through a wicked person. His intentions were not noble. He wasn't there for the right reasons. And yes, something came out of him that day, but it wasn't for the right reasons. Now, why I said this is an important component to build upon. These people that are being spoken about are hypocrites that know they are doing it for show. What about someone who wants to be sincere and doesn't think it is for show? And that's where you start to look for the signs. These are people that embodied hypocrisy and they knew it, and they knew they were not doing these noble things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew they were doing it for the glory of the cause. Before social media, before anything that would cause anything to be broadcasted, they knew they were there for falsehood and they disguised themselves with truth. But what about the rest of us when there might be some signs of it? What are the signs of insincerity that could overtake a believer? And there are five things that the scholars mention, and it is more important now than ever for us to remind ourselves and to renew ourselves. Number one, a person who doesn't renew their intentions. It starts with that. We're a religion where we are taught to renew our intentions every single day, every single morning, before every single act of worship. And so naturally, with the extensions of that, renew your intention. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Number two, that a person does not embed the private component of that goodness when others are not paying attention. If the only time you do good work is when other people see it, then that's a sign, right? That it's not actually for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you should be acting for the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The public nature of something that you do should be an extension of the work and a necessity of the cause, not something that you actively seek. So if you ditch the private and only do the public, then that is a sign of insincerity as well. Number three, that you're disappointed when you're not celebrated. That you're disappointed when you're not celebrated. You're disappointed when you're not acknowledged by people. A person should not be disappointed when they're not acknowledged. The person should instead say, "Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved my ajr, saved my good all the way for that day, and I hope to preserve some of it." Number four, that you quit when you're attacked. One of the greatest signs that public service is for the public is when the public turns on you and you ditch the service, right? So when someone gets involved in something good and they get punched in the process, not physically, no one should be punching you physically, but metaphorically, you get punched in the process, right? And that causes you to abandon public good. You say, you know what? The people don't appreciate me, therefore I will not do any more for the people. Well, then that's a sign that you aren't doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place. And so you don't abandon the cause when you are not celebrated, you don't quit when you are attacked. And the last one is the most important when it comes to the time component. You don't walk away when everybody else walks away. You don't walk away when everybody else walks away. SubhanAllah, things capture our attention and everybody gets excited about a noble cause. And then eventually, attention moves on. Our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Our attention moves on. And there are going to be people that are going to look around and say, no one's talking about this anymore. No one's posting about it anymore. No one's protesting anymore. No one's praying about it anymore. No one's giving to it anymore. I guess we can all move on now. Your sincerity will show in your ability to stay committed once everybody else has moved on. And this is especially true for Palestine. How many times in the past have things, quote unquote, flared up and everyone got on board? But then as quickly as everyone got on board, everyone got off board as well. Sincerity is to stay committed when everybody else moves on. And I want to end with this point in particular. Someone might say, you know, when I do this stuff, I don't know if I'm protesting for the sake of Allah anymore. You know, I don't know if I'm posting for the sake of Allah anymore. I don't really know if I'm giving for the sake of Allah anymore. I don't know if I'm showing up for the sake of Allah anymore. What's the fine line, right? Is it, should we completely eliminate the public element of this cause when our greatest strength is the publicizing of this cause? What's the fine line? I don't know if I should be doing anymore. And I want us to, inshallah ta'ala, leave with this thought. One sincere servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than 1,000 insincere people to a good cause. One sincere servant is better to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than 1,000 insincere people. But 1,000 servants struggling with their sincerity is better to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than one sincere servant. 1,000 people who make it part of their mujahada, part of their striving to continuously strive against their intentions and continuously make sure that they're there for the right reasons, doing for the right reasons, is far more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than one person who has seemingly already arrived. If you listen to this whole khutbah and you thought of everybody else but yourself, please turn that lens inwards. None of us are immune. Otherwise, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who was narrating the hadith, would not have cried 3 times and wept before he could even get the hadith out of his mouth. We're all imperfect, striving servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do not think at any point that your intentions are immune, whatever it is that you're doing, or that it's unimportant to keep on checking your intentions. I don't care how often we're doing what we're doing. Recalibrate every single day, every single time you do anything, something as simple as posting something on social media. If you can take a moment and renew your intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do it at that moment. And keep your private worship for your brothers and sisters as much as your public activism. Now is not the time to remove our private worship. Now is the time to inject it in our public work. Because that's what's going to cause us to outlast everybody else bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And your Lord is just, your Lord is merciful, as long as you are striving. None of us will be perfect in our activism, and none of us will be perfect in our sincerity. But your Lord is just, and your Lord is most merciful. وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And your Lord is grateful for your efforts, so long as you are trying to make sure that those efforts remain for Him and for Him alone. May Allah purify our hearts. May Allah purify our intentions. May Allah purify our deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to do solely for Him and in a way that solely benefits our brothers and sisters in Palestine and the oppressed all over the world. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم انصر إخوانا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي السودان وفي كل مكان اللهم عليك بالظالمين اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخوانا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمائه يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة